Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
What joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And good morning, Terry. Good to see you in there with us. All right, let's go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, Fathers, we open your word this morning. We're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with Brother Dennis this morning as he brings us the message, Father, that you want us to have. Now, Father, be with us throughout, not only this morning, but throughout the day. Bring us all back together again, Father, at 6 p.m. Now, Jesus, fill us with the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Dennis.
Good morning, everyone. This is kind of unexpected because I wasn't expecting to come up here, so we'll just open the book and see where it lands. Where'd you leave off at? 16 or 15? Where did you leave off at?
Well, I left off with John 15.
Then we'll go into 16. All right. Before we get started, again, as usual, I'd like to cover some of the things that going on in the world. A lot of you, as a matter of fact, probably everybody's heard about the queen dying and having a new king and all that. But there's a little bit more into it than just a a new person taking over in the royal, whatever you want to call that stuff. I don't keep track of it that much. But at any rate, the queen, in case a lot of you don't know, she was pretty well an evil person. And Charles truly ain't no better. And I say that in lines of the New World Order, the new coming, whatever you want to call it. I call it One World Order, but what they're trying to do, the Great Reset and all that. And the reason I say the Great Reset is Charles is a member of the World Economic Forum, you know, with Klaus Schwab and ones that's trying to push this stuff. And in fact, it's Charles that is ramrodding it, so to speak. So he's really been pushing it. And not only that, I can't remember her name, but the new Prime Minister of Britain, which they just got here recently as well, is also one of their cronies. So I would definitely be on the lookout for this Great Reset to really start taking more shape now that you got at least two of the people that are in power, major power, actually. You know, people don't think that the British Empire with the royalty actually does a lot, but really and truthfully, you got several countries that are still under the king or queen, whatever, under the royal stuff. You know, Canada, for example, Australia, New Zealand, and that's just a couple. And if you've seen how those countries, not necessarily England itself, but and them too, but, you know, how left and liberal Canada is and how left and liberal Australia is and how left and liberal New Zealand is and the things that they're doing. These were the countries that had the absolute tightest lockdowns and treated their people like crap. And in fact, you know, y'all heard about all the stuff where in Australia they were putting people in jail for not getting the shot. And then on top of that, they were doing the same thing in New Zealand. And we've all seen what's going on up in Canada with the idiot they got up there. So I would warn you that may be just the shape of things to come, so to speak. So because now, you know, Charles has a little bit more authority, a little bit more power, a little bit more say-so over him. And I suspect that England itself is going to start seeing a little bit more of this type of stuff as well, because the new prime minister is one of their cronies as well. And for those of y'all that don't know or don't keep track, on the shot, the COVID shot, it's turning out, and you have to do some digging to find this information, because in case you hadn't paid any attention, you're not going to get any real news about the problems with the COVID shot, because all the news is sponsored by Pfizer. So obviously they're not going to go out there and cut their own throat. But and I challenge you, I don't care what news, whether it be Fox, CNN, NBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, ABC, whenever the news comes on, it's all sponsored by Pfizer. So but at any rate, as it's turning out, it's more people now are dying from the COVID shot than from actual COVID itself. And not only that, but they're finding out that there's a lot more people that are having paralysis, they're having neurological problems, all kinds of things. And we knew there was some neurological problems from the get-go. Of course, the news didn't put it out there, but we got this system called the Bayer system. And you can go in. Of course, you have to spend an hour filling out a form, but and that's why a lot of that stuff ain't done. But the ones that wanted to get it out there, they actually filled out the form. And they were finding out that there's a lot of shenanigans going on with that vaccine. So just letting you know about that. And not only that, they're already pushing it again. So just wanted y'all to be aware of that. If you have taken a shot, don't take any more. If you haven't, don't. And I'm just going to leave that alone. All right, so let's go to John chapter 16, verse 1. These things I have spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. All right, so instead of reading the whole thing, we're just going to go over it as we get there. All right, so these things I have spoken unto you, that you shall not be offended. The offended part is to be upset or actually offended. Now, we know right now in today's world, you can't say anything without offending somebody. But that's not necessarily what they're talking about. They're talking about the offense or upset about talking to God or talking about God and specifically Jesus Christ in and of himself. And we see that right now. Actually, that's been going on for a little bit, but it's getting more and more defined, so to speak, right now. They shall put you out of the synagogues or churches. Yea, the time will come that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth the service of God. And we're already starting to see some of that as well, by the way. You got all these false churches and all these false places out there. And there's a whole big long list of false religions and false churches and all this stuff. But any time that you speak of the true word of God and you preach the true word of God or even just you're talking to somebody on your own about the word of God and you don't say what they think or say what they believe instead of what the word says, they get all kinds of hurt. There's been churches, and I've seen this, where you know, you'll go to a church and you'll sit there and you'll listen to the pastor or preacher or priest or whatever the case may be, wherever you're at, and they'll say something, and you know that it's wrong, and you bring it up to them, or you mention it to them, or you mention it to somebody else that's in the church to you know, basically to get a better understanding, and then they start shunning you, and then the next thing you know, you're pushed out. But a little bit of what they're talking about here, it's just going to become a time when the people that you think are your Christian brothers and sisters are going to turn you in, they're going to turn against you, and then they're going to persecute you. And for the same point, they're going to also try to kill you. Now, what he's talking about here is he's literally talking to the apostles, letting them know up front what's going to be coming down the road for them. But everything that he's saying can literally be transformed into our daily lives and the lives that we live today and the things that are going to be coming towards us as well. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Excuse me. And this is very true because you have to know Christ and be in Christ and Christ in you for you to have that relationship with the Father. But these things have I told you that when the time shall come, you may be remembered that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. Now, he's letting them know up front that all these things are going to be coming to them. All these things are going to be happening to them. And to us, by the way, because everything that he's telling to the apostles or disciples of what's going to happen, it's also the same things that he tells us is going to happen to us as well in the end times. And sure enough, they're already started and they're already starting to happen. But he's letting you know up front that these things are going to happen. And he's also letting them know that he didn't tell them from the beginning that these things were going to happen because he was here with them. But now that he's leaving and he's not going to be here to protect her, protect you, to let you know that these things are going to happen and you're going to have to rely wholly on the Holy Spirit and wholly on faith. And that's the key to it. We always got to have that strong, unabiding faith and knowing that Christ is with us and he's going to take care of us. And that doesn't necessarily mean that Christ is going to take you out of the situation. He's going to bring you through the situation. And when it comes to the, you know, the beheading part of it, or the, you know, the persecution part of it, these things are just part of what has to happen. He'll be there with you, whether it be on this side of life or the other side. He's still going to be with you. Don't let the flesh get in the way. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whither I goest. And he's kind of asking them, why haven't anybody asked where he's going? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. So now they're starting to understand that he is truly fixing to leave. They don't know where he's going or what's fixing to happen to him just yet. They're still kind of a little bit on the blind side there. But they are starting to, it's starting to come to them, and they're starting to get a little bit of understanding of what's going on. Nevertheless, I'll tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. Excuse me. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit couldn't come until after he departed. And in fact, he didn't come until 40 days after he departed on the Day of Atonement. And when he cometh, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So whenever he comes, he's going to let you know, be talking in your ear all the time, letting you know what's good, what's bad. Whenever you do something wrong, he's going to let you know, hey, you're doing something wrong. You don't need to be doing that. And if you're heading in the right path, he'll let you know that you're doing what you need to be doing and you're on the right path. And that's one thing that I can honestly say, you truly can hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You know without a doubt that you're doing something wrong. And then you need to back up, regroup, and head down a different path if you are on that wrong path. Of sin, because they believe it not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And in fact, he was judged already. And we know this, he's already been judged. And it's talking about Satan, the prince of this world, or God of this world. He'd already been judged, because the Bible tells us that hell was actually created for him and his little minions. And that was the whole point of it, was to create a place for a judgment for them. And I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them right now. So what he's letting them know is he had many more things to say. He had much more teachings to give them, but at that particular moment, they just truly wasn't capable, being as we're humans and we have limited capabilities, limited understanding. They had limited understanding of what was going on and how things were going to progress. Not only that, but he'd be talking about things so far in the future that they really couldn't grasp what was going to be going on and how things were going to work out. Excuse me. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of him, but whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. So he's letting them know that the Holy Spirit is going to come, the Spirit of truth, or the Comforter. He's going to come down. After he's gone back to be with the Father, he's going to send the Holy Spirit down. And the Holy Spirit is going to guide them. He's going to teach them what is right and wrong, teach them the truth. And also, he's also letting them know that they're going to be able to see into the future, specifically John, because he's the one that gave us most of the revelations. Well, actually, he wrote the whole book of Revelation through the Holy Spirit, and he's letting them know that the Holy Spirit is going to guide them into what's going to happen in the future. So those writings can guide us as to what we need to be doing and preparing for. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And that's one way that you know that it's the Holy Spirit talking to you, because the Holy Spirit is going to actually glorify Jesus Christ in all manner, shape, and form. And that's how we're supposed to test spirits, by the way, because you may have, you know, just like you got the Holy Spirit talking in one ear, you may have a demonic spirit guiding you or trying to tell you something in your left ear. And that's how we discern, because we're supposed to discern everything. That's how we discern whether that be the spirit of truth or the spirit of a lie, is through the fact that one is going to be glorifying God and glorifying Jesus Christ, and one is definitely not going to. And that's how we discern these things. And that's how we know if we're going down the right path and whether we're messing up or whether we're doing the right things. And all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore, said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So he's letting you know that not only is the Holy Spirit going to guide you in the truth, but he's also going to let you know, guide you into things of the Father, which has been given to Christ, and Christ is telling the Holy Spirit to let you know what those things are as well, and let you know about the kingdom of heaven and how to get there and how to stay there. In a little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Okay. Now, let's get a couple different meanings right there, because he's letting them know up front that you won't be able to see me in a little bit. In other words, he's going to be crucified and die, be put in the ground, and he's going to stay there for 3 days, and he's going to rise again. So he's letting them know that. He's also letting them know that there's going to be a little bit of time after that he's not going to be seen, because he's going to go to the Father and come back, and he's going to spend, the 40 days down here with them, and he's seen, you know, by the multitudes. And that's also how we know that this is a true story. You know, aside from the fact that you have faith in it, it's also written that he actually came back. And by the way, there are written accounts, aside from the Bible, of Christ's resurrection, and there's several of those. One of them is by Pontius Pilate himself, but I'm not going to get into all that. I'm just letting you know that the Bible is not the only place written about Christ's resurrection. So if you ever, you know, hear somebody wanting to argue with you, you know, that's just a fairy tale book, well, let them know that it's also written down in the secular world as well. And it's just a fact, you know. We know that he rose. But aside from the Bible saying it, there is other sources saying that he actually did rise as well and was seen after the fact. And in Matthew, you know, where the saints were risen, we don't say how many of them were risen after as he rose. But we know that there was saints risen, because Matthew tells us, and there's also accounts in the secular world of that as well, because they've seen them walking around and it was written down. And a lot of people don't understand that. They try to hide all that stuff so nobody knows it, but it's out there. You got to do a little digging to find it. Spend a little time at the library and you can find all this stuff. I would say do it on the internet, but a lot of stuff, you can't believe a lot of stuff that you read on the internet. I was going to say, if you spend some quality time in the library every now and again, you can actually go and research this stuff and find it in a book, and most of these books were written at the time, so it's not something that's after the fact. This is stuff that literally was written by the people that physically seen it. And like I say, a good example of that is Pontius Pilate. He actually wrote it to Caesar, believe it or not. And we know that the Romans kept extremely good records. So that's where there's another witness to this. So Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. So they're asking themselves, amongst themselves, what does he mean? Because they're not truly understanding what he actually means, because, you know, they don't understand that he's fixing to be crucified, and they don't understand that he has to be crucified, that that's all part of the grand plan. And they said, therefore, what is this that he saith a little while? So what is a little while, they're asking. And that's what we were just talking about. A little while is meaning a couple of different things, actually. It means the little while for the 3 days, a little while that he's not seen at all after the 3 days, and then he starts showing himself, and he spends the rest of the 40 days until the ascension to be seen, and he's, like say, seen by the multitude. It don't say, I think it was 500 that actually seen him. And then a little while also means his second coming, when he comes back for us and for the judgment of the world. So all that is encompassed in that little while. And a lot of people don't understand that. The Bible has literally, forever prophecy and everything, for the most part, everything Christ said had dual meaning. It meant something for him at the moment, and it meant something for us now. And in fact, it meant something throughout the course of time. And that's one of the great things about this book. No matter what part of history you lived in, it meant something to you because it spoke to you in your particular time, and it spoke to you in your particular circumstances. No matter what your circumstances are, there's something for you in this book, and it's always speaking to you. And that's another way that we know that this book is divine and it came from the Holy Spirit and from God, because no matter where you're at in history, no matter who you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter what, it actually applies to you. And that's something no other book, no other sayings, no other anything can do. You know, you take the Quran, for example, it don't do that. It speaks of the time of Muhammad and the things that happened to him. And I'm not going to really get into it, but I do want to point out just real quick while we're talking about it, you know, the Holy Spirit is what gave us this. Satan is what gave Muhammad the Quran, okay? It was just a little bit of background, because I know there's a lot of Muslims out there, and we deal with a lot of Muslims because it's growing rather rampantly at the moment. But it's the satanic religion. And they think, or at least they profess that to us anyway, that they're an Abrahamic religion, but they're truly not. Yeah, they did take some of the stuff from the Old Testament and put it forth into their Quran, but if you pay attention to what they're actually saying, it's perverse. It's not even what it actually says. And they're not following the teachings of it. They do follow some of it, you know, like they won't eat pork. But that's just the small things. You know, they go to extremes on one thing, and even though those things that they got are perverse, they still don't follow it all the way. But Muhammad was in a cave, and a demon, which he called the angel, and I think it was the angel Gabriel, which is who they said gave him the message. But at any rate, they were given all this information. And at the end of him giving him all this information in that cave, he told him to commit suicide. That in and of itself would have, to anybody else in the world, would have been a great big sign. Hey, this ain't who I think this is. This is not a good person. This is, or a good spirit. This is a bad spirit. Or this ain't a good angel, but this is a bad angel. And that's literally what happened. Muhammad was instructed to commit suicide, to jump off a cliff. From the same person or the same angel that gave him all the information that is in the Quran. And that's literally in the Quran. I mean, they literally tell you that. It's just wrote down in black and white. So that ought to tell you in and of itself that it's not a good book to be reading. And it certainly is not a good faith to be following. And then on top of that, you know, they claim to be a good and peaceful religion, but at the same time they have jihad, which means to go out there and, for the most part, kill people. Kill the infidels, which is what you and I are. So in and of itself, it's not a peaceful religion. On the other hand, where Christianity had not necessarily had a very peaceful history, but it's not because the Bible didn't tell them to have a peaceful history. Most of the bad things that happened throughout history with Christianity was all a result of not following the teachings of the Bible, and they were also a result of having poor popes, so to speak. They were actually very evil. Most of the popes, in fact, have been evil throughout history. Many of them had illegitimate kids while they were in office of pope. Many of them killed many, many people. Many of them killed people to get the office of pope. So it was just a power play for them. They weren't very religious at all. And on top of that, and I can't remember the name right off the top of my head, but pope literally means Caesar. They're just in place of Caesar. They're in place of the Roman whenever they moved, whenever Constantine moved the church to Constantinople or Istanbul, he put the Pope in charge there in Rome, which, you know, I can't reflect that. I don't speak Latin, so I can't say the name, but it was short for Pope, which is the same title that Caesar had while he was there anyway. It was literally the same title. So, And, you know, you have a lot of people out there saying that the Roman Empire and the Catholic Church is one and the same. Well, there's a lot of truth in that. And you also have a lot of people saying that the beast in Revelation is the Roman Empire transformed into the Catholic Church. And there may be a little bit of truth into that. I'm not going to get into that right now, but there may be a little bit of truth into that. I don't personally think that the Catholic Church in and of itself is, you know, the harlot or the whore or the beast or whatever the case may be, because a lot of people turn it around a lot of different ways. But I do honestly believe that the Pope very well could wind up being the number two guy, the false prophet. I do believe that that's very, very possible. The Antichrist himself, no, but the false prophet, I very well can see that happening. Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and you shall not see me, and again, a little while, you shall see me. Verily, verily. So take note, very verily I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. So he's letting them know up front, yeah, there's going to be a little bit of period of time that you're going to be weeping, that you're going to be sorrowful. And they were. But the world in and of itself is going to be rejoicing, particularly Satan. He's definitely going to be rejoicing because he thinks he's won something at this point. What he doesn't know is, and in fact, he lost. Because Christ is going to be risen. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of her child, She remembereth no more the anguish for joy that the man is born into this world. And that's something else that Christ did really, really good at, is he described our plight as a woman in travail, as a woman going through labor, a woman getting ready to give birth. And in truth, that's truly what it is, because the woman would be Israel, and the child that's being born is us, Christianity, being born out of the promise of Israel. And a lot of people don't understand that. You know, they look at it from all kinds of different which ways and everything. But in truth, the child that is being born is Christianity and us, because we're Christians, so we're coming out of Israel, because if it hadn't been for the nation of Israel and the Jews, we wouldn't be here. And in fact, if it hadn't been for the nation of Israel and the Jews, we wouldn't have this book in front of us, because all of the Old Testament, actually the whole book except for two, was written by Jews. The only two books, actually I take that back, there's three books in this entire Bible that was not written by Jews. Just three. The book of Acts, the book of Luke, and I believe Esther. And those are the only three books in this entire Bible that were not written by Jews themselves. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that the man-child is born. And again, once she's going through all that anguish, she's going through all that pain and sorrow at the moment, but as soon as the baby is born, she forgets all about her pain because she's joyful at the new child that she's got. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And he's letting them know up front, which he was good about, letting everybody know up front. He's letting them know up front that you're going to have some sorrow, and in fact, you're going to have some sad times. And over the course of time, whenever we break this down into the current time and what we're in now, he's letting us know also that, yeah, while he's gone, we're going to suffer some bad things. We're going to go through some hard times. We're going to have a hard road to hoe, so to speak. But whenever he comes back on his second trip around, we're going to be in joy. We're going to rejoice. And the joy that we have, even if they put you in a guillotine and chop your head off, we're still going to be with him, and we know that we're going to be with him. So nobody, even through death, can take away the joy that we have in the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. All right, so there's two different things there. And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Well, first of all, we're not going to really care about all the questions that we would have had in the past, because we are going to actually be with God and the Father, and we're going to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now he's talking about while we're here, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give you. And that gets back to how we're supposed to be praying too, by the way. You always ask the Father in Jesus' name. And if you see it, you'll get it. Now, by the same token, I would warn you, don't necessarily ask for a lot of things. Don't ask for money and all this kind of stuff. That's not what he's talking about. Because, you know, money is the root of all evil. And we don't necessarily need money. All we need is some food in our belly and a covering over our head to keep us out of the weather. And that's truly all we really need. And he'll provide those things for us. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall speak no more unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. That's all right. So, and that, by the way, is another one of the prophecies, because it was prophesied in Isaiah that he would speak in Proverbs or speak in parables. So he had to do it because, one, it was prophesied about some 600 years before he even came, and two, things are not supposed to be very plain for those who don't understand and are not of his. If you're of his and you have the Holy Spirit for you, the Holy Spirit will interpret what it's supposed to be. And on top of that, something that you always need to understand and keep in the back of your mind, this book and what God says to you is also progressive revelation. In other words, you're not going to get everything all at one time. And you're not going to understand everything all at once. You're not supposed to, because you can't handle it. That's why you go from milk to mushy food to, you know, solitude as a baby. And that's basically the same thing that we're doing here. And this was the same thing that Christ was explaining to them there. And in fact, he told them earlier that we just read that, you know, they couldn't understand it. They couldn't grasp all that stuff all at one time because it was just too much for them. And that's the same thing that what he's talking about there as well. You know, progressive revelation, you got to learn it slowly. That way it takes hold, like the seed, it takes root in you, and then you'll get a little bit more, and then that'll take root, and then a little bit more, and then that takes root. And, by the way, you'll notice that some people come to Christ early in life, but it may take them their entire life for the fulfillment of salvation to take hold on them. And then you'll have some people that will come in towards the end of their life, and it just hits them all at one time, and they understand it right off the bat. And Christ does these things, or God does these things, because he knows you, knows what you're capable of, knows what you're not capable of, and capable of understanding and not understanding. He knows each and every one of us. He knew us before we was ever formed in the womb. He knew us before the foundations of the earth were laid. And this Bible tells us that as well. And he knows who's going to be his and who's not going to be his. And he's already preparing for each and every one of us. And you may say, well, you know, that's just predestination. No, it's not. Just because he knows doesn't mean you know. And you don't know who's going to be saved and who don't. That's why you're supposed to go out and knock on everybody's door, talk to everybody that you can. If you do that, you know, it's just like the watchman. As a watchman, we're supposed to let everybody know what's coming down the pike. By the same token, we're supposed to go and talk to everybody and talk to everybody about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to push everything that we need to be talking about, let them know the plan of salvation, that all they got to do is turn their life over to Christ, because they've already turned their life over to Satan. So all they got to do is turn their life over to Christ and change roads that are going down, change the path that they're going down. You know, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and narrow is the road that leads to salvation. And follow that proper path, and then they'll be saved. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I have come out of God. I came forth from the Father, and I come into the world, and again, I leave the world and go to the Father. So he's letting them know that he's going to the Father, and he came from the Father, and he's going back to the Father. And his disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By these we believe that thou comest from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Or do you now believe in me? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. He's letting them know up front that something's fixing to happen, and they're all going to be scattered to the wind, and that he's going to be left alone. But he's also letting them know that, no, he's not going to be alone, because the Father is going to be with him. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace, and in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So he's letting them know that, yep, there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be bad times coming. There's going to be a lot of tribulation, which means testing and trials and bad things. But these bad things are not necessarily bad if you have the Lord Jesus Christ on your side. And he's letting them know that, because I have overcome the world, and if I have overcome the world through me, you can overcome the world. And that's what he's letting them know. All right, I'm going to close there. I hope everybody got something out of it. Like I say, I wasn't prepared. I absolutely did not even know I was coming up here. But I hope everybody got something out of it. And I pray that you'll continue to read the Bible and study the Bible. Studying is the main thing. Read it every day, but study it as well. And I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Tony, and I hope everybody has a very blessed day. Everybody, God bless. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Brother Dennis. And always, when we get into the Word of God, it's always good. And, you know, he takes the worst things that happens to us, but he makes something good out of it when we walk with him. And we have to walk with him. All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, you're yours wherever they are and whoever they are, Father. We pray that the Holy Spirit will keep them safe, keep them in health, and that he will see to their needs. And for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, has turned its back and walked so far away from the Lord Jesus Christ, taking him out of every place he was in, not wanting his name, Father, mentioned anywhere, against your church. And Father, they're growing stronger each and every day against your people. Help us now, Father, and give us strength, and work with us and those that are in our government, Father, that will replace those that are against you and your church and the Lord. And Father, you know that we all love you, and we need this land of ours to repent. Turn back to God. Turn back. Be refreshed and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, our prayer list, as each name is called. Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch them, turn them, and take care of whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Bobby Millie Johnson, Terry Coates, myself, and for all of our families. We all have family members, Father, that's walking in darkness. May the Holy Spirit work with them. Bring them out of that darkness and into the light, and that light being Jesus. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, brothers in Christ, Pastor Small, the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, the Church of God there in Brandenburg, Father, the Meade County General Baptist Church, and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric, his wife Jackie, the little Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron, Father. These churches, make them lighthouses and places of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, that light, Jesus. For my three minister friends in Pakistan, Pastor Huran Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, may the Holy Spirit take care of them. Keep them in health and see to their needs. For Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombello and her mother, for Sue and David Branson, for Palin Scoodman, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen, Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. Some need physical healing. Some, Father, need spiritual healing. And some need financial healing. And, Father, you know what each one is in need of. Work with them, Father, and may the Holy Spirit guide them close to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they too, Father, can begin to walk in the light, in your word, and in obedience. Now, Father, help us to build this place to be what you want it to be. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember now, pardon me. Everyone, God willing, we can be back together again this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. So until then, walk with God, He'll walk with you. Have a great day.